In our Western mind, in our Western world, our Western churches, we all want to be happy. Pastor, preach something that makes me happy, that makes me feel good. But Jesus called us to a life that would cost something, and sometimes it's not just feel good and happy, and we go through these storms, but God in the midst of it has divine purpose, and Paul understood that. He understood something was going on. In the first chapter, he mentions the word Christ 16 times. He mentions the word gospel in the first chapter 6 times. What do you think was the focus of the Apostle Paul? It was Jesus Christ, and it was the gospel of Jesus Christ. No matter where he was, this man who once was an absolute zealot for the law, who was knocked off his horse by the power of the Holy Spirit, who had a visitation of Jesus Christ, and Christ saying to him, Paul, or it was Saul then, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And because Saul was then persecuting the church, Jesus said, you're persecuting me. And he has a divine encounter with Jesus Christ. I would love to have another fresh divine encounter with the Holy Spirit of God. As I was praying this morning on this long weekend in Canada, folks, we are so blessed in this country. I said, we are so blessed in this country, okay? You know, it's, wow. And no matter what is happening that you see in the government in this country, no matter what happens and you, man, this the country's just, whoa, look what's going on. Here is the truth and the reality of everything that is happening. God is still sovereign. He does have his hand on things. He does allow man to do what man's going to do. This is an opportunity to just dive into prayer, calling on God for great things to happen. No matter how bad it gets, we are people of faith. No matter how bad things looked, Paul walked in faith, imprisoned. And he gives this amazing message, and we're not going to get there today. In 1:21, he says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Why? But he was wrestling with dying because he felt he needed to be there. But he knew to die was to gain, was to be with Christ, to be absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord. He said, I'm not sure whether I should leave the body and be with the Lord, or I'm struggling, I should be here with you. And so, as difficult as the journey to death is in this life, if we know Christ, there is something far greater beyond the natural and this present life. Amen. And it's Christ we get to see and be with him because of the hope that is put within us. But while we are here, he says, we've got work to do. We've got things to get accomplished. Turn to Acts 16. We're going to quickly look at how Paul got to this region and the church was planted. Acts 16:6, and then we'll go right over to Philippians 1 again. It says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia. Now watch this. Having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Having been kept by the Spirit from preaching the word. That sounds really confusing because aren't we supposed to preach the word wherever we go or wherever we think we're going? What it means is the Holy Spirit blocked him from going into that place. Sometimes when you're kept in check from going somewhere or you have these plans and you think this is what we should be doing and nothing is working out, the Holy Spirit has you in check and has you stop there because he has something different for you. The Holy Spirit, God the Father, wanted the gospel first to go to Europe And so Paul is stopped. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus, that's the Holy Spirit, would not allow them to. Do you ever feel like sometimes you haven't been allowed to do something? Is there anyone here this morning and things just, you seem to be hitting a wall? Things just don't seem to be working out in your life. Take a deep breath, stop, listen to the Holy Spirit, and maybe there's just another direction that He wants to take you. It's a great passage. And here's what happens. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. The Spirit went and prepared this region in Macedonia, the Philippian church being one of them, and Paul and his companions heard from the Holy Spirit, and off they went. What's happening in your life today that you feel kind of like you're blocked in, you're hemmed in? Sometimes things don't seem to be working. Take a step back, get with God, listen to the Holy Spirit, and often He has a completely different direction than what you're thinking. There's a reason, because the Spirit has prepared this over here instead of your mind going, well, we need to be here. It's a tremendous lesson in listening to what the Holy Spirit has for us. And by the way, God still operates in dreams and visions. Now, they must line up with the Word of God, but there would be teaching out there that says God doesn't do that anymore. Yes, God still operates in dreams and visions. It can be the way the Holy Spirit is talking, but you need to line it up with the Word of God. Let's go to Philippians. Verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. He opens up all of his letters with encouragement. The only one that he was a little short with was the Galatian church because of legalism had affected that church. And he calls them saints. Say this, I'm a saint. Wow. Well, maybe some of you struggle with that today. Say it again. I'm a saint. Yeah, if you're in Christ, you're a saint. You may not always act like it. And I may not always act like it. But whether you like it or not, I'm a saint because of Christ. Isn't that amazing? Oh, my goodness. And then the next verse, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Verse 6, being confident of this. Where do you place your confidence today? Where are you placing your confidence today? Write that down. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It just so hit me yesterday when I was here spending some time with the Lord, and I phoned Rebecca after, and I've read this scripture this week probably 10, 15 times. And it hit me, and I phoned Rebecca, and I said about a situation that we're facing in our life, I said, Rebecca, we have to remember that he who began a good work in us and a good work in what he told us to do will be faithful. And we have to be confident that he will complete it and he'll bring it all to fruition until the day of Christ Jesus. He's not going to start something because he is the author and he is the finisher of our faith. He's going to carry it out until the day of Christ Jesus, and he's a completer, he's a finisher, that's Jesus Christ. So whatever you're walking in and you're thinking, this is not working, God told us to do that, it is working. It is working. You have to step back and rest that God has it and take your hands off it and come to a place of Hebrews 4 to rest in the finished work of Christ, which is the Sabbath rest, which is to say, God, I can't do this. You said and you promised that our confidence must be in you, and you will complete it, you will finish it, because Jesus, you're the author and you're the finisher of my faith. And the trial and the test, whatever we're walking in now, is something that you want to show and reveal what's in my heart. It's because you want to grow our faith, but you are massaging this situation, you're working this situation, and outside of the natural realm, because we see things through the natural so often and we view the circumstances instead of coming right to the place where the Word of God says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. It's a place of great confidence. Verse 7, it is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, for whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And there's a reason for this, that he felt so affectionate towards them. First of all, let's relook at verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Paul could have had and dwelt on the other memories he had about Philippi. Let me tell you about a few of them that happened back in the book of Acts. He's arrested illegally. He had just cast a demon out of a girl that had been following him and mocking him about the gospel, and he turns around without her permission and he commands the demon to come out. She no longer could be a fortune teller. It was actually a spirit called a python spirit. That's the truth. If you go to any fortune tellers today, I'm going to preach down the road, I don't know when, but on the stuff we need to stay away from. Because people are getting saved and coming into the body of Christ, and they have no clue that they need to stay away from crystals and fortune tellers and tarot card readers and horoscopes and all that stuff, that their hope and future, their past, present, and future is now under grace, and it's in Christ. And we still have people mixing in all this garbage. And so the same thing that was happening back there in Acts, it's happening today. And so Paul cast this demon out, and the dudes that were making all the money off this gal were very upset. And so they brought Paul and Silas before the council and so on, and they had them illegally arrested, and they had them beaten, and they had them put in prison, and they had their feet put in stocks. They couldn't move, and guards all around them for that. Money does, or the love of money, once it's broken, the love of money does very bizarre things to people. And so those guys went right away and said, we need to get rid of this fella. And so Paul could have remembered all of the bad things that had happened to him back in Philippi, but he chose to dwell on all of the things that Christ was doing. He could have wrote him a letter and says, don't you remember I sacrificed for you and I did all this and I did this and I did this and this is what happened to me. But he's rejoicing because he remembered also what happened in prison. And what happened in prison? The jailer and his whole family were saved and baptized. Prison doors flew open because in the midst of the difficulty, they began to sing and to worship God. And too often our worship and our praise is about how we feel that day. Well, things have gone well this week, so I'm going to worship God. Things have gone lousy this week. I'm not going to worship God. We're called to worship God no matter what. Amen, church? Whatever's going on, we're called to worship him. He's the king. I'm not saying that's easy. I'm saying that's a decision. And so he could have focused on all of those things, but no, he remembers. I want to ask you a very powerful question this morning, and point number one is the power of remembrance. What have you done with your memories? Do they come up and do they bother you? And do you constantly, you're talking about them and this happened and this happened and this happened and this happened? Or are you also like Paul? Go to Philippians 3. Verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. What's the one thing we should do with hurts and pains after the Lord has healed us? I'm not saying it's not a process to get that healed. What's the one thing we should do? Forgetting. Everybody say forgetting. What is behind and straining toward what is ahead. If your rearview mirror is bigger than your windshield, you're going to run into trouble. It's true. The rearview mirror is small, and it's just for a quick glance to take a look, check who's behind you, check who might be coming up beside you. The windshield is big. We focus on moving forward. We go ahead because we can see what is ahead. And if you're constantly focused on what has happened back here and that hasn't been dealt with, we can't move forward. You have to let go of this to go through the door that God has for you. You got to let go. Let God heal that. But if you're hanging on, you know, if I'm hanging on like this, I cannot move forward. If we're hanging on to even things like, oh, we've never done it that way in church before. We've never done that. Let go. Let's let God lead us into the next phase. Thanks for three amens. I said, let's let the Holy Spirit lead us into the next phase for the church. Okay? Let's do that. Let's just let go. Forgetting what is behind. We're not going to lose the awesomeness of communion. We're not going to lose the awesomeness of the Word. We're not going to lose the awesomeness of corporate worship. Oh, no, no, no. We'll enhance those things. But we're going to lose some things where God is taking us. We're going to lose some things. And we'll celebrate. They were good for then. But we're going to lose some things. Okay? Forgetting, no longer caring for, not giving it any attention, forgetting what is behind. Paul refused to allow his past to dictate his future, and more than that, his present joy in Christ. Remembering all of this all the time robs you of joy, robs you of where God wants you to be. It just sucks the life out of you, the spiritual life out of you. Secondly, let's go back to chapter 1. Why was he so, wow, I love this group of people so much. In all my prayers, verse 4, for all of you always, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Go to Philippians 4. 4:14, so just a few pages. Watch this. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. The first thing we should be partnering with people is fulfilling the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Come on, one word. Love. Love is the law of Christ. So fulfilling the law of Christ, Galatians 6:1, says that we carry each other's burdens. Verse 1 says, if any of you is caught in a sin, that doesn't mean we caught you, haha. It means battling, a besetting sin, something that is just you're struggling, overcoming, that we're to come alongside, people are to come alongside. We partner with people and we so fulfill the law of Christ by carrying each other's burdens. We don't judge. We don't judge. We were together as pastors a couple weeks back, and I'm going to preach through these later on, but we developed a list of core values that our deacons are now looking at, and there were seven core values that we said that this church needs to live by. But we're praying through them and we're thinking through them because we just don't want them to be these seven values that we place on a wall somewhere. We want these values to be absolutely what we live by. Every core value is immersed and was based out of the truth that God is love. God doesn't have love, God is love. And the very first core value was that because of God's love, we are commanded to love all people. Now listen, church, that is an extremely high calling. Because that means we're commanded to love people who rub us the wrong way. We're commanded to love people who are doing things that we don't believe are right. We're commanded to love a culture that looks really messed up right now. But we are commanded to love. And we need a fresh anointing to be able to do that. Would you agree with that? That's not easy. But for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Right? All of us. Moreover, as you Philippians know, verse 15, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out for Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. They supported Paul financially. It meant so much to him that they got behind him. They were the only group of people that said, we support you. My question is, who are you partnering with? Who are you partnering with? This was a financial sense. Who are you partnering with? First thing, partner with this local church as we endeavor to reach this community for Jesus Christ. Partner. We're a team together. Partner with us. Next, find a missions group. We do a lot of missions giving out of this body. But maybe there's someone who God has laid on your heart. And I'm going to share very quickly. I spent some time again this week with Terry Law. Many of you know him. And he has an opportunity right now that is such a God opportunity. He says, Mark, I cannot believe what God is leading me into. And I'll share this very quickly. He has been called. He was called just a few weeks ago right from Kurdistan by a man, Kareem Sinjari. You may have heard the name mentioned when Terry's preaching. He is literally right next. He's the prime minister, actually, of Kurdistan. And he's right next to the president. This man is like a Joseph in Kurdistan. This man is Muslim through and through. Terry and him have created an amazing bond. And Terry has said to me very clearly, this man is a very kind, loving man. Kareem Sinjari phoned Terry a number of weeks ago and has invited him to Kurdistan. And the hope is, and the belief is, that they'll go on July 27th. Here's the reason he called him. He said, Terry, I'm going to help you gather the leaders of the Christian church in Kurdistan. This man is a Muslim. And he said, I want you to gather them and talk to them because we are going to put in our constitution the protection of worship and the protection of people who worship. And we're going to put in our constitution the protection of Christians. And I would like you to come. I want you to bring a film crew. We want you to help us to do this. And whoever else you can bring, we must put in Kurdistan, in our new constitution, the protection of Christians' rights. And anyone who converts from Islam to Christianity, we must put that protection in our new constitution. Wow. Wow. You know, when he told me this, he phoned me and was telling me this, and then he was up here for this week, and we spent some time together. Some of you got that. That was a hook swing. But chatting. When he called me on the phone and said this to me, immediately the scripture came to my mind. Terry, the scripture says, ask of me, I will give you the nations. I said, God just gave you Kurdistan. You ponder that. You ponder that. So, you may be led to help Terry get over there. If the Holy Spirit is telling you that, just please give me a shout this week and I'll tell you how to partner with them in a financial sense, but most importantly, prayer, folks. Prayer, covering. Who are you partnering with? The power of partnership. And Paul had this. You know what I've discovered, and you should too. The kingdom of God, singular, is vast. It's amazing. And people from different denominational stripes and backgrounds and differences, even in some of our theological sense. Oh, my goodness, the kingdom of God is amazing, church. Amen. We partner with other people. We haven't got the corner on theology. Oh, if that was news to you, then you've pondered that. We haven't got the corner on theology, church. We agree on what we call closed-handed issues, meaning the blood of Christ, that Christ is the only way, Jesus is the only way, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We are agreeing fully on those things, but some things we differ on. But the fact of the matter is the gospel's going forth. And later on, even in this, I believe it's in this book, Paul says that men are preaching with wrong motives, but he says, I'm celebrating because the word of God is going out. It's amazing. Because God will always honor his word, no matter what the motives. All right. Last but not least, the power of confidence. He who began a good work in you, he who began a good work in this church, he who began a good work in your kids, he who began a good work in our city, he who began a good work in Canada, in 1867, when Confederation was birthed, it was a group of politicians, but it was loaded with shepherds, pastors, putting together our laws, our foundation. And you can say, boy, have we fallen far from that? Yes, we have. But God is in control of what's going on. And he who began a good work in you, whatever's going on, and in Canada, will be faithful. If we're faithful, he'll complete the work. Where are you putting your confidence? What's the work? The work of salvation, the work of sanctification, the work of service through us, the work of grace, the work of mercy, the gifts of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If we're faithful, he will be more than faithful. He will do it. It's the work that God has started and he will complete. Jesus again being the author and the finisher of our faith. He will do it. Don't be discouraged. He'll do it. I'm assuming you're pondering, but some of you aren't looking too full of joy right now. He'll do it. He'll finish it. He'll complete it. Work in us and through us. Because it's founded in this beautiful letter. And what was the foundation of this letter? Love. 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 Where are you placing your confidence today? So three things to remember as we stand together. Let's stand. The power of remembrance. Are your memories hindering your destination? Because as someone says to me, what you focus on, that becomes reality. That becomes bigger than God, what you're focusing on. Focus on God. Focus on the healing he's brought. Focus on what he's done. Focus on good things. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. Power of remembrance. How many of you have taken inventory of all that God has done in your life? But it seems the first thing we do is focus on a negative. Okay? The Power of remembrance. Secondly, the power of partnership, partnering with someone, partnering with other ministries. And if you can't do that financially, that's okay. It just means coming alongside someone, partnering with someone. The power of confidence in the finished work of Christ. The finished work of Christ. I'm confident that God who has brought our lives to this point is the God that'll take us to the next step. I'm confident that the God that has brought us to a church as this point is the one that's going to take us to the next point. I'm confident that the same God who gave us the anointing to get to this place will give us a fresh anointing to get to the next spot. Amen. I'm confident in that. No matter what this says sometimes, I'm confident that God has it. Where are you placing your confidence, the power of confidence? Let's pray. Father God, I pray that confidence upon every person here. I pray strength upon every person. Hope upon them. Faith upon them. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in us, that good work of salvation will be faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, that people would not live in the past, but know that they're in the present and they are moving to a glorious future if they let go of the past and be healed and don't keep remembering and bringing forth those things that have wounded them. They just, Lord, you just want to heal that. You've already placed those things under the blood of Christ, and they move forward in Jesus' name. Yeah. I pray we partner with great people of faith, and we partner together as the church body. Yes, Lord. I pray for every person who's walking through something here, and we're all doing that, that they walk with strength, faith, and confidence in Christ. And I pray that in Jesus' name, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. We all said?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Were you encouraged this morning?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. We're working through July, and it will always open to the Holy Spirit and what he's doing. And I wonder if Janae, would you come? And the people that serve communion, are you still in the service? I see a few. Folks that serve communion, I wonder if they, I think they, okay, is Roz here? Okay, if we could get those two, maybe even just three couples come. And what we're going to do, if you need prayer this morning, we want you to come. So we'll get Roz and maybe Ken and Lynn, if they're available, or Wayne and Tony, whoever's available. Yep, come on up. And Janae, if you just play quietly for a few minutes, and let's lift our hands for the blessing. If you need prayer this morning, you come forth. Let's lift our hands. I like being blessed by God. What about you?